For the last several weeks now, I've been spending, if you've noticed a pattern, a lot of my Sunday mornings discussing songs that have deep spiritual meaning to them. And that's part of my plan for the year, to spend at least this first month looking at some songs that we sing over and over and over again. And I selected the song that I want to talk, or the song topic and title that I want to talk about, Almost Persuaded, today. And as I was doing my research and putting the lesson together, I found out it's not in our songbook. Those of you reaching don't believe me. Some of you are looking to see if I just couldn't find it. I can spell our almost. Maybe I can't. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I was going for all instead of almost. But it's one of those songs that you can see that's based deeply in the scripture in Acts chapter 26 that we've just shared with us here. And it comes as kind of Paul's telling his conversion story. And verse 28, King Agrippa makes that statement, those words of such importance when he says, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And when you look at that almost in a lot of things, is good. I almost made an A. For me, that was good a lot of times to almost make an A. I almost won first place. I almost got the answer right on the test. But almost in every one of those categories also means I didn't do it. I didn't reach the goal. I didn't accomplish that which I was trying to accomplish. And so when Paul is talking to Agrippa and he's giving his defense of the gospel and talking to Agrippa, when Agrippa says, "Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian," Paul is heartbroken that it wasn't altogether. Let me suggest to you that this story starts way back in at least chapter 21 of the book of Acts. Paul is arrested for causing a ruckus among the Jews because he's preaching Jesus. He's not really so much arrested as he is taken into protective custody. He's got the whole town so stirred up, they're ready to tear him limb from limb. There's a riot about to happen, and the guards come in and take charge of Paul, and he ends up in prison. And in Acts chapter 22, Paul is beginning of this making of his many defenses that he'll make about his actions. And Paul gives not only his defense, he gives his pedigree. He said, "I'm a Jew born on the of the house of Benjamin," and gives all that information in Acts chapter 22. He goes before several people. One of the first people he goes before is Felix. And Felix, just a little note here for the song. There's part lifted out of Felix's story that's put in Agrippa's story for the song. Because Felix says, "I'll call on you in a convenient season." That's not Agrippa's line, that's Felix's line. And one of the things you find out in Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and following verses, is that indeed he did say, "I'll find a more convenient time," but his zeal seems to be off a bit, because the Bible says he wanted to bring him back because he sought to obtain money from him. He thought he'd get a payoff. He thought he'd get a bribe. And so he brought him back often to talk to him, but he was looking for a bribe. He wasn't looking for Jesus. And there are a lot of people looking for the wrong thing when they come to the Word of God today. And then in Acts chapter 25, he's before King Agrippa. And he begins to talk to King Agrippa, and among other things, he says, "I consider myself most fortunate to speak before you, King Agrippa, because I know that you're an expert of all the things concerning the Jews. I know who you are. I know what you know. And out of all these people I've tried to explain this to before, when I talk of the Messiah, when I talk of the Christ, when I talk about Jesus, when I talk about my faith, you're going to know those scriptures of old. You're going to know those prophecies that caused me to become who I am and do what I'm doing today. And I consider myself fortunate to present my case to you." And so in Acts 26 and verse 24, he makes his defense with a loud voice. "Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. Paul, you're crazy. You're nuts." He says, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason, for the king before whom I now also freely speak knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since the things were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do." You see, there's not a better audience for Paul to have to make his case one more time, one more place, one more thing. Paul is not just making his case to get out of prison. Paul is making his case to save a soul. Paul is saying you need to know these prophecies are true and they're fulfilled even in our day. And when he finishes that in verse 28, those famous words of Agrippa, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now listen, as Adam read that passage just a moment ago, and it always stands out to me, Paul's intensity as he must have felt those words almost when he says, I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day should be not only almost, but altogether such as I am, that is a Christian, except for these chains. I would to God that you had Jesus as your Savior. And that's the biblical history that brings us up to this hymn. Back in the 1700s, 1800s, there was a believer whose name is Philip Paul Bliss. And he preached and he taught and he wrote a number of hymns. He wrote this hymn. He had gone to hear a preacher whose last name was Brundage, and he spoke on this topic of King Agrippa and almost persuaded. And what the preacher said as he closed out his sermon was, he who is almost persuaded is almost saved. But to be almost saved is to be entirely lost. And it was with those words of that sermon that Bliss went back and he penned this song that we sing so often today for nearly 200 years. I want to look at some of the thoughts, some of the verses. Some come straight from Scripture. Some are his interpretation of Scripture. He said, some more convenient day, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. I've already pointed out that that's not Agrippa's line. That's Felix. And I listen to the song in my head even as I speak to you now. Go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. And yet as far as we know, for Felix, for Festus, for Agrippa, that more convenient day never came. To be almost saved is to be entirely lost. And that's what Felix was saying in Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, which gives a background for her to know the prophets as well, and no doubt he. And he sent for Paul and he heard him concerning the faith that's in Christ. And while you may think that's a strange topic, that's what he's in jail for teaching the word and for causing people to be upset and causing people to react so violently. So when he's making his defense, he's telling the story of Jesus about his faith in Jesus. And I love the fact that we were given the sermon outline in verse 25. For he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. You ever notice how those are in the chronological order? About righteousness, if you know what righteousness is, control yourself because judgment is coming. And the Bible says that Felix was afraid. And his answer was one of fear. When he says, go away for now. For when I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. Yes, he hoped to obtain money from him. But he heard a lesson that scared him. And my suspicion is when he got to the fact that judgment is coming, that we'll all be judged, the quick and the dead, before the Creator of the universe through the power of Jesus Christ, that he began to tremble. I'm reminded back in Acts chapter 17, Paul was going through Athens and he noticed a number of statues to a lot of different types of gods. And there was one statue that was entitled to the unknown god, for the Athenians had decided that in case there was a god they had not recognized, they'd make a statue in that way that there would be no god out there that would be mad at them because they didn't get recognized, because they put a statue to the god that we don't know, the unknown god out there, and we'll recognize you even though we don't know who you are. And Paul took that opportunity to say, let me tell you about the God that you don't know. Let me tell you about the one that you haven't named. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we'll hear you again on this matter some more convenient day. Well, the text doesn't say some more convenient day, but that's my interpretation of what they're saying. We're interested, but not quite there yet. We want to hear you again. We'll call you back. We'll redo this again. We'll have another discussion. And I'm reminded when Paul wrote the Corinthians in the second letter that we have on record in the sixth chapter, he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not another day that's more convenient. Today is the day of salvation. You need to act now. You don't need to put it off. You don't need to keep waiting. Some more convenient day on the I'll call. You're not promised the rest of this day. There is no more convenient time than now. And songwriter continued to say, almost persuaded, come today, almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here, angels are lingering near, prayers rise from heart so dear, O wanderer come. Jesus invites you here. You've sung it. You've seen it on the page. An invitation from Jesus. I know that we live in a digital age and people don't get handwritten invitations to a lot of things anymore. It's all photoshopped and printed up and put out with the most expensive ink in the world, because if you've ever tried to fill up your personal computer, you know ink costs more than the whole computer does itself. And we print out these invitations. But I want you to assume that Jesus gave you a personal invitation, just as the song says, because in fact he did in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to Jesus. The invitation has been sent. Through the very mouth of the Son of God, we have recorded in Holy Writ that Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Does anybody in the building this morning fail to meet that criteria? Have you been weary? Have you been heavy laden? Have you had hard times? Have you needed someone to help carry the load? That's who the invitation's to. It's to me, and it's to you. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts comes. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. The invitation of Jesus is, come today. It's written out for you. It's written in the Bible itself. It's written in the Word of God. Come if you're thirsty. Come if you hear. The invitation is from heaven, because the next part of the song begins to change the scene drastically. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail. Almost but lost. How many times have you sung it? How many times have you felt that sad sadness that Paul must have felt before Agrippa when he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? I would to God that not just you, but anybody who heard me today would be a Christian. How much despair is there in heaven because Jesus hears, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus is talking. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour no man knoweth, no, not the angels in heaven, the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Nobody but the Father knows. There is a day coming when it's too late. Right now, as long as you're breathing, as long as you have opportunity, you can respond to heaven. Luke wrote in Acts chapter 17, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, and he hath given assurance to all men in that he has raised him from the dead. There's a great day coming where everybody of all time is going to be judged. And I don't want it to be so sad to hear, almost, you persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul's emphasis, not just you, but everybody. Almost is but to fail. Sad. Sad is that bitter whale, almost but lost. To quote from Brundage again, that passage, that sermon that he ended a long time ago, he calls this great standard hymn to be written. He who is almost persuaded is almost saved. But to be almost saved is to be entirely lost. If you're almost persuaded, Jesus invites you here. He's calling you. What more will it take? Heaven sent the Son of God to die on Calvary's cross where you could have the remission of sins and be raised to walk again. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that faith ought to cause you to want to repent and change your way to live for God and not against God, to confess His name before a world that needs to know about Him, and to have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, to be raised to walk in a new life and to live that Christian life where the world and where we have hope of eternal life with Him. And if you've fallen away, why not come home? It still haunts me. Sad, sad, that bitter well. Almost but lost. Please don't be that the verse that defines your eternity. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?